Hey everybody, welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I'm Dory.
And here we are. Happy belated everything. New Year's arising and COVID's coming.
COVID's a-raging.
That is our copywritten phrase. You may use it on Etsy, on whatever you feel would be suitable. Face masks are good.
T-shirts. Wooden plaques. With that, you know, Etsy script.
What if, like, you did it on, like, I don't know, like, patient charts?
Oh.
You know, like, if you're in the medical field.
I'm thinking more like a live, laugh, love vibe.
Sure. Like, maybe, so you're saying, like, some sort of vinyl lettering.
Yeah.
That we could put on walls.
Yeah, like a script.
And think we were very, I don't know, decorative or deep?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going for with those?
I think... You know, you just really want to broadcast to the world.
I think people that have, and anyone listening, don't take offense to this, if you have any of these phrases in vinyl lettering on your walls.
Or wood signs.
But I think these people also have large photos of their weddings.
Oh, interesting theory.
Not a theory. It's a fact.
Wow. Okay.
Like, I think, like, absurdly oversized. And, like, somehow only the wedding, and, like, that's the only thing you've accomplished in your life.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you.
Good thing we only have, like, a 5x7 of our wedding.
I know. We've done some shit.
It's true.
You've got plenty of diplomas up.
I do.
You know, it's the whole thing over here.
Yeah.
We got a lot of... we don't actually have that much stuff hanging.
Well, we don't have a lot of wall space in this home.
Because of the windows and the fireplace?
Yeah.
Hmm. But yeah, so. Anyway.
Anyway, hello everyone.
You probably got like a big photo of your wedding on canvas.
Mm.
Like that you had printed somewhere or your photographer sold to you. And then you stumbled across these letters, live, life, live, laugh, love.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one?
Live, laugh, love. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Where's the wine? Maybe you have that in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm. I should get one of those for you.
You're just, you know, I think, yeah, I love wine so much. It's my favorite. Is it a drink? What is it? Anyway, yeah.
Anyway, hello, everyone.
Yeah, I feel like those things are a very specific type.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like they're also on the walls of a lot of military spouses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is to say, a lot of MLM people probably have those vinyl letterings.
I mean, to make a blanket generalization, I think probably.
I nailed it. Pew, pew, blanket generalization.
Have you ever... gone to the oddly specific shirts subreddit?
No, but I can tell you exactly what that is because I've seen these targeted ads on Facebook.
Yes.
So many times.
Yes.
Where it's just like, why would anyone make a shirt about Lowell, Massachusetts?
Right, exactly. But it's like these shirts that, like, here's a onesie. That says, never underestimate the power of a child born in August. I would go to the ends of the earth for my family. They don't call me baby Dom for nothing. I've joined a pyramid scheme to support my family. If you ever threaten my mom and dad, I will fucking shit my pants. I was born in April. By the way, could I interest you in joining our Avon team? Like, what? Oh, here's a perfect example of one of these.
Warning, I'm an electrician and an asshole.
So if you don't want your feelings hurt, walk away.
Ay, ay, ay.
Like, people buy these things. Like, I feel like this is the toxic masculinity flip side of the toxic femininity of the live, laugh, love signs.
Oh, you think that's toxic?
Kinda, yeah.
Oh. I'm like, no harm, no foul. I don't care if you have vinyl lettering in your home.
Yeah, I
suppose.
But
I will make a generalization about you. But if you run around with a t-shirt that says you're an asshole.
Yeah.
That's I think, more toxic.
Here's another one. Being a welder is like having sex. At first, you are nervous, but still, it's the best thing you ever tried. The more you do it, the better it gets. With experience, you learn to go harder and longer. Love sex. Love being a welder.
I wonder what other professions that t-shirt has been made for. Because nothing was specific about welding.
And also, that's what, like what you were saying, you get these targeted ads. So yeah, like Facebook knows that you're a painter or right, whatever, house painter, and then you get one that has that filled in.
Yeah, I believe I've got some that were like, I was born in August, so blah, right, blah, 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 blah. Much like that onesie. Okay, so beyond that, anyway, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hope you had a good holiday, whatever holiday you were celebrating. Hope your Boxing Days were great. Hope your Christmases were tight.
Whatever you celebrate, if you celebrate anything.
Kwanzaa, hope it was off out of this world fun. And there are other holidays, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I hope your winter solstice was very short on light.
Oh, there's another subreddit called Targeted Shirts. That one is bigger.
I see. Thank you, Dory, for sharing that. Is this something you and the BuzzFeeds would talk about?
No, well, I don't even remember how I saw this. I feel like I saw it in some Facebook group I'm in and was like, oh, yeah, what is up with these?
Yeah, I used to see them when I would go on Facebook, but it's been years since I really...
Oh, there's also a large subgenre of like ones that like wives buy for husbands, or husbands buy for wives, or like mothers buy for sons, or you know what I mean?
I think I do.
Well, here's an example. I'm not a perfect son, but my crazy mom loves me, and that is enough. She's a bit crazy and scares me sometimes, but I love her, and she is my best friend. You hurt me, and they'll never find your body. Yes, she bought me this.
Cool.
That kind of thing. Anyway, sorry, I really got...
That is incredibly specific.
Exactly.
Yeah, so what should we talk about here? Well, Henry was sick over Christmas. This is for any of the non-patrons.
Yeah.
Henry, shortly after, you know, last week, or last time we talked to you guys, we had been to see Men at Work, and really got that in under the skin of our teeth there.
Yeah.
Regarding the
Omicron, et cetera.
But now that like you only have to be quarantined for 5 days, it's NBD. I can get right back to work. Thanks, society.
Thanks, CDC.
Way to go, Delta Airlines CEO who asked for this.
Yeah.
And has somehow granted it.
It's like, what is happening?
I'll tell you what's happening. Money.
Yeah.
Money is happening.
Money is happening. You're right.
We did it, everybody. We live in a boring dystopia. That's my favorite subreddit right now.
Boring dystopia?
Yep.
Ooh, that sounds good.
That is our...
Oh, no. I might go down a rabbit hole if I join that subreddit.
Oh, boring dystopia. It's just... It's sad. It's really sad.
Really?
Yeah. It's just like, you know, everything.
Yeah.
About, like, people who... It's kind of like... It's a little bit like the anti-work subreddit in a way.
Oh, sure. Yep. Yep.
Which I'm like... Like, geez, Louise, something has to change here.
Yeah.
But
well,
I think actually when we're all in the metaverse, it'll be fine.
Oh, for sure. Web 3 or whatever.
Hit me up, Zuck.
Yeah, so we went to Men at Work on Saturday night. We recorded the podcast Sunday. Monday night, Matt said, Henry feels warm. We should take his temperature after his bath.
Yeah.
And we took it, and he didn't have a fever, but he had like high normal. He had like high for him.
Yeah.
Like it was like 98.9 or something.
Right.
And then he woke up the next morning crying, which like he never does. And he was coughing and had a runny nose. And I was like, he has COVID. And gave him a rapid test. It was negative. Took him to the urgent care by our house and got him a PCR, and also asked to see the doctor, who was kind of a loon. And the doctor was like, well, he's like, honestly, he's too sick for it to be COVID.
I mean, he was correct.
And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, the way it's like presenting in little kids is like not this sick.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, cool.
Right.
like I guess good that he doesn't have COVID and that he doesn't have to quarantine and we don't have to quarantine, but like, poor dude, that like he's so sick that
yeah,
he's sicker than COVID. And he like checked him out and he didn't really like, he was like, his lungs sound clear, it's not like, this doesn't seem like bronchitis or anything. And checked him out, checked out his ears, like couldn't really see anything because he had wax in his ears, but was like, I don't think it's an ear infection. And then
maybe it wasn't yet.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking. But then he still had a on Thursday, he still had a fever.
He got sicker.
He got sicker and he got like sadder. He was like really, he was so cranky, so sad, so irritable, like just not himself, like at all.
He's been in his pajamas for a week now.
Yeah, and he like refused to get dressed, which like fine, I don't really care.
Actually, one of the nights he didn't even want a bath.
Yeah, remember? and he also didn't want to go to sleep.
Well, that was like two nights ago. Or three nights ago.
No.
He did it twice.
Yeah, he did it twice, but I feel like it was...
Yeah, he did not want to go to sleep.
When he was really sick. And then finally, on Thursday, I was like, this is... Something's up. Like, this is not... He's, like, been... He's had a fever for too long, and he's been too cranky. Like, that was what kind of, like, made me be like, something is up here. So I called his pediatrician and was like... I made an appointment to go in to see them that afternoon, and they were in like full PPE, like
yeah,
ready to go.
It was so rainy too.
Oh yeah, it was raining, and the doctor checked him out. She also agreed that he did not have pneumonia or bronchitis, and then she went to look in his ear and she was like, I can't see anything because he's so much wax. I'm gonna have to send in the
wax team
essentially to like flush out his ears. And she was like, it's gonna be uncomfortable, he's not gonna like this. And I was like, oh boy. And they came, two of them came in, and it was not fun.
Yeah,
but they did manage to get enough wax out of at least one ear that she was able to look in, and she was like, oh yeah, he has an ear infection. And she was like, that's why he's been so cranky. And I was like, oh, poor guy.
Yeah.
So she prescribed some antibiotics. Now went to get them. They only had half of them at the pharmacy.
What day was that?
That was Thursday. You have to come back Monday for the rest.
Yeah, because Christmas.
Yeah.
There was no Christmas delivery of their whatever.
Well, they were closed Christmas.
And yeah.
Anyway, so within like a day and a half of taking the antibiotics, he was... clearly like so much better, and his fever went away.
Yeah.
And then I would say today he was definitely 100% himself. He still has a cough and like a little bit of a cough and a runny nose. But he's just like so much happier.
Absolutely. And it's just hard, you know, when you're, especially like Christmas, it's like, oh, bud, you're going to be sick on Christmas.
He was sick on Christmas. But he was getting better already on Christmas.
Yes.
Like, he didn't have a fever when he woke up on Christmas. And he was, I think he was feeling better enough that he enjoyed Christmas.
Yeah, he loved his toys.
Yeah.
He loved his presents. He loved walking with Bo.
Yeah, we went on a family walk. And that was fun for him.
Yeah, he walked his tiny wooden dog.
And Pepe.
I walked Bo, and Mama pushed an empty carriage.
And yeah, he got a Hot Wheels track. He got a Hot Wheels garage.
He's really into the garage.
He's really into the garage.
Today.
Yeah.
He was into the track on Christmas.
He got a garbage truck from his grandparents.
Yeah, my parents bought him a garbage truck that he's... I would say the most obsessed with.
Yeah.
Even though it is, the bins that it comes with are the flimsiest plastic known to man and are separated like they're in three parts, which is great for a 2-year-old.
Three. One of which is like tiny and looks like it should be trash.
Yeah.
So we've already lost at least one.
I believe we lost the one off the green. No, off the blue bin.
No, there's not a blue bin. There's red, yellow, and green.
Then we lost it at the green.
He got some Play-Doh, which he's been very into. And he got an easel.
Which he was using today a little bit.
Yeah.
So he did okay. Santa did all right with that Christmas for him.
Yeah, so that's kind of what's been going on with us. By the time you hear this, we will be back from our little jaunt to Palm Springs. But we're recording this.
Omicron, be damned.
Before we leave.
We're going to the desert.
We're going to the desert. Not planning on doing any indoor activities. So it is supposed to rain like the first day we're there, which is kind of a bummer. But it's supposed to clear up after that. And then we can, there's a living zoo that's supposed to be great that I think you'll enjoy. I want to take him to Joshua Tree.
Yeah. I should take him to Agua Caliente.
Wait, what? That's inside.
He'd love the slot machines.
That's
though.
Inside.
But he'd hit the slot. He would just enjoy it so much.
That's good. That's true. So that's what's going on with us. Just a reminder that you can still join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/excellentadventure. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/excellentadventure. We still record 2 bonus episodes a month, and you do also get the back catalog of Patreon episodes, of which there are
a tremendous amount.
Many at this point. Email us at DorianMatt@gmail.com or MattandDory@gmail.com and call us at 413-461-BABY. You can also text us there. We do love getting your emails and your texts and your calls, and you know, this is, we host the show, but like this is really your show in a way. So we want to know what's on.
No say over the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, but we want to know what's on your mind and what you're dealing with. So please get in touch. All right, we're going to take a little break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas. The better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same for tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish-green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number 1, 2, and 3 most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Ah, supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or for Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Oh, hello. We're back. Thanks for waiting. Dory's book. Buy it now.
Wait, what?
What? Thanks for waiting. Dory's book. Buy it now.
Well, we have an update.
Is it about how much straighter I'm hitting my driver?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's from Lauren, who writes, "It's me, the originator of the infertility imposter syndrome conversation." I'll continue. "I wanted to give everyone a quick update and ask a couple of questions. I can't tell you how much it helped to hear that I wasn't alone in my feelings around feeling like an infertility imposter. It helped me open up to friends I knew who had gone through fertility treatments and find an amazing online support group for people in my area. To those who live in and around Louisville, I highly recommend the Kentuckiana Infertility Support Facebook group. As you all predicted, I was met with open arms by all that I shared my experiences with. Thank you so much for sharing my email and the responses and helping me open up about my struggles. A couple of weeks after I wrote in, I found out I was pregnant with what ended up being a chemical pregnancy. I was devastated. A week after that, we had our first appointment with an RE who ended up diagnosing me with PCOS after two previous physicians said I didn't have it, one who based that purely on how I looked and claimed she could diagnose people with PCOS on sight."
It's like a dog sniffing COVID.
So weird. "The RE seemed encouraged that I was able to get pregnant at all prior to seeing him, even though he sympathized with the pain of losing it. We are now trying timed intercourse with an Ovidrel trigger, Femara, and progesterone supplements. Needless to say, the past couple of months have been a roller coaster ride. Now for the questions. 1. Before I saw the RE, my midwife ran blood work to rule out lupus as a cause for the infertility."
Wait, I'm sorry. Your midwife ran blood work?
Yeah.
Are midwives?
Nurse midwives are.
I see.
You know, nurses.
Call the midwife. And then someone rides a bicycle to a devastating story.
Yeah. I should get back into that
show. Yeah, you really should. Mm-hmm. That was your best pregnancy thing.
It was. I don't know why. This is Lauren again. "It came back that I carry antibodies for an autoimmune disease called scleroderma. I have zero actual symptoms of scleroderma, but I wanted to send out the autoimmune disease signal to see if anyone else has had a similar finding and if they've found that it has impacted their fertility. My RE seemed unconcerned, but wants me to follow up with a rheumatologist to be sure. I see them in April."
Interesting.
2, "It's been suggested to me that I start eating a more Mediterranean diet to help with both the PCOS and lowering inflammation to keep the potential autoimmune disease at bay. I have the worst time making major diet changes, and I wondered if you or any listeners have tips on being disciplined enough to actually stick to a lifestyle change such as this. Thank you so much for the wonderful podcast and community you've created. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. Lauren." P.S. Matt, your bit about the preconception appointment had me laughing aloud. It honestly would have been more fun if the appointment had actually been like that as opposed to what it was. A standard pap smear followed by the OBGYN pressuring me to look into genetic testing because of my husband's 1% Ashkenazi Jewish heritage."
Oh, dear. Dory has the remaining 99%.
It's true.
I feel like at a preconception appointment, too, if you tell them that you have live, laugh, love on your wall, they'll tell you you have PCOS.
Okay. My advice for the Mediterranean diet is, like, I personally, like, when faced with stuff like this, I find that incremental change is a little easier than going like trying to change a million things at once. So for example, I think part of the Mediterranean diet is like eating less red meat and eating more fish. So I would maybe start like replacing one night a week of meat, if you eat meat right now,
with lamb,
with fish, and maybe like one other night eating vegetarian or something. You know what I mean? Like, starting with that and then switching like some other stuff.
Olive oil.
Yeah, olive oil, nuts.
Nuts and olive oil and unleavened bread.
Yeah, that would be my advice. And like adding like
feta.
Adding feta to everything. Or just like adding greens at your meal. Like not changing everything, but just like kind of like rebalancing a little bit.
You won't regret adding some feta.
Oh boy. Are you from the feta board?
Yep. I'm wow. of the feta committee.
I knew it.
And I think we should all add a little feta to our breakfast.
All right.
Put it in an omelet, some spinach. It's great.
You have been talking about a spinach and cheese omelet for
I know.
Like weeks.
Goat cheese, not feta.
Yeah, no, I know.
It was one of my staples when I was the healthiest person I had ever been. AKA when I met you and tricked you into marrying me. Ha ha! What's health? That's me now. Back then, oh boy. I ran a lot, etc.
Yeah, you could do that again.
Not with these knees.
The bee's knees?
The bee's knees.
All right. This is from Aaron.
I should take up speed golf, which people run. Like they run.
Oh.
And with then hit the golf club and then run.
With their clubs?
Yeah. And like a round that would take 4 hours and some odd minutes takes these guys like 45 to 50 minutes. Speed golf. Everyone look into it. Thank you.
All right. This is from Aaron. Thanks so much for keeping the pod going, even when we don't write in enough. I love hearing your Henry updates. Here's my question. I have one full IVF cycle left on my insurance from work. I've already done 2 retrievals and 3 transfers, 5 embryos transferred total. My egg quality is not good. I'm 40. My last transfer was with donor embryos. It was very draining. I was on twice daily heparin injections, which was a pain. I'm not especially happy with my clinic for the following reasons. One of the ultrasound technicians sucks. She couldn't find my ovary with the vaginal wand and used the stomach one. Okay. And used the stomach one and pressed so hard she ripped open an incision. What? And didn't notice I was bleeding everywhere. Yikes.
I mean, look, that's crazy.
2, I feel like it's all about money with these people. They wouldn't let me go back for an appointment one time because I was having an issue with my card, flagging it as fraudulent. 3, my last transfer, I went in for my pregnancy test and they didn't call me the whole day. There was an issue with their lab system and instead of telling me, they just didn't call. I logged into my patient portal the next day and found out that way that my transfer had failed. Yikes. 4, my doctor has basically blamed my weight for me not getting pregnant. Not my PCOS, endometriosis, 1 fallopian tube, or bad eggs. It's because I'm a bit overweight despite working out 5 to 6 days a week. And he had a very condescending conversation with me where he asked how many calories I take in to weigh as much as I do and then calculated what he thinks I should eat. I'm just over going to this place, but I want to use my last chance. The next closest IVF doctor is probably 2 to 3 hours away. Is it worth transferring somewhere else or do I just stick it out with these assholes? I just want to feel like regardless of the outcome, I gave it my best shot. Thanks again for this podcast and this community you've built. Much love to you and to you too and your family. Aaron in Memphis, 2,000 square feet, 2 adults, 1 very tall 13-year-old, 120-pound dog. Oh, that is a large dog. And 1 angry cat. Too many hot dogs to count.
I think giving it your last best shot would not be going back to these people.
I agree.
So if that means driving 2 hours out of Memphis, by the way, it seems bananas to me that in Memphis there's 1 IVF clinic.
Yeah. Maybe there's only 1 that takes our insurance.
That would make more sense.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with this. Like, also, it sounds to me, I think there needs to be a little bit more investigation of your uterus. Because you've done 3 transfers, including 1 with donor embryos, which, like, should have been, you know, PGS tested and, like, ready to go. And, like, those didn't work. And so, I feel like you need someone who's, like, who, like, knows what they're doing a little bit more. These people sound like they suck.
I mean... starting with incision person.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
but yeah, I know it's gonna. It's gonna. God, I don't know. It's a lot. It's a long drive. I get it. It's a lot.
It's a lot, especially when you have to go in for like monitoring and like all the stuff. But
and I don't know if it's plausible, but if there is a way you can do it, I would do that.
Yeah. Same.
If there's not a way you can do it, then I would say, try again with these people that you don't care for. It's not going to work if you try it again with them, because you're just not, your mind, it will never get to a positive place.
Yeah, I agree. All right. This is from Elizabeth. Hi, Dorian, Matt, longtime listener, first time writer, looking to get some feedback on other people's thoughts slash experiences related to our situation. I've been in the TTC world for approximately 6 years now. Fertility workup at 30 after trying for a year showed low end of normal AMH, did an IUI and got pregnant with a little boy who we sadly lost at 16 weeks after I went into labor and were on vacation and seen at a tiny hospital and was told nothing could be done. Ugh. Saw an MFM and was just told bad luck. We started trying again and got pregnant on our own, but sadly lost that baby at 9 weeks. We were followed by the fertility clinic and was taking baby aspirin and progesterone. Had a D&C, but genetic results were inconclusive. Had recurrent loss workup, and only thing that came back was slightly elevated lupus anticoagulant levels, and was told would need to be on blood thinners for future pregnancy. Tried again and got pregnant on our own, and after a long, anxiety-filled 9 months, had our rainbow baby girl in 2018. Fast forward and have been trying to conceive for the past 6 months with no success, so saw a new RE as we moved cities, redid all the testing, and AMH was still low. RE recommending IVF, but also that could be weight issues contributing to not conceiving, and suggested I lose weight. My dilemma is I've been looking into getting weight loss surgery, but the stipulation is that you have to wait 18 months to 2 years after the surgery to try to conceive again, which would put me at 38 years old to potentially start trying again. I asked the RE what their thoughts on having the surgery and waiting related to already reduced AMH. He said he would not wait and start IVF now. I feel torn. On the one hand, I feel that being at a lower weight would make potential future pregnancies safer for me and baby and help me feel better overall. But then I'm worried that if I wait that long to try to conceive again, it won't work and we will have missed that boat to try for a second child. The cost of IVF is high here in Ontario and the wait time for the partially funded cycle is just as long. So we really would only be able to afford one round of IVF in the future. And I know from previous research, the low AMH may lead to low number of eggs retrieved. Sorry for all the rambling. What would you suggest? Do the weight loss surgery now and try for trying to conceive down the road, or just move ahead with trying to conceive an IVF? Thanks. Elizabeth from Ontario, Canada. 4 hot dogs this year, 1 3-year-old toddler, senior dog, and husband in 2,000 square feet.
Well, it doesn't sound like... it sounds crazy to say. 38. It's not that old.
That's true. Yeah.
So... a healthy, happy 38-year-old you is probably going to be more mentally ready to hit up some IVF. That said, your doctor's like, well, no, you don't really need to do that. So, the subtext of your email sounds like you want to do the surgery, which I support. Thank you and good day.
I mean, I would just... caution against equating happiness with weight loss surgery. Like you said, happier, healthy you, but that
healthier, happier.
You might not be happier and healthier. Like you don't know what the outcome of this surgery is going to be. And like, you know, I think people have complicated feelings about weight loss surgery. And I can't be like the arbiter of telling you yes or no because I don't know your medical history and
I do. Go for it.
I was going to say I think you should do IVF.
This is what we're here for, you know?
I think you should just go and do the IVF. At the very least, bank some embryos.
Bank them, baby.
And then kind of reevaluate. I'm also curious about the advice to do weight loss surgery prior to potentially getting pregnant again.
Where did that advice come from? Because it did not sound like it came from your doctor.
Because, like, your body goes through so much when you're pregnant. And I don't know. That seems... I'm curious, like, what that is like. But my personal instinct, as someone who has never been, you know, faced with this decision, would be to do the IVF first. So.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're so the same but different, honey. I love it. It is just about that time to take a break.
All right, let's do that.
Be right back.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay.
Okay. We have returned. We have an email from Corinna that is very long,
okay,
but very enjoyable.
All right.
So we're going to read the whole thing. I am going to read the whole thing.
Okay.
Dear Matt and Dory and Henry and Beau, I am one of those listeners with no connection to IVF. I'm Matt's age, but unmarried and don't want kids. I found you through Star Trek The Next Conversation, which I found when I started rewatching Star Trek The Next Generation from the beginning at the start of the pandemic.
Wow.
I live in Japan. Uh-huh. And while I used to go home to the States twice a year, it's now been 2 years since my last trip back. Revisiting a beloved TV show from my childhood and then listening to Matt and Andy talk about it was like hanging out with friends. Because of Dory's cameos and loving hearing Matt talk about anything, really, I started listening to Excellent Adventure, and I want to say it has made me a better, more compassionate person.
Oh, side effect.
Being someone who was never interested in having kids, that would be a good like pull quote, you know, if we were like doing an ad for the podcast. Excellent Adventure made me a better, more compassionate person. Corinna. like those, you see those, you ever
it's
see those?
Corinna?
Well, it has two N's.
Ah.
So I'm pronouncing it Corinna. There's these billboards in Los Angeles for, I think they're mostly for like Wondery podcasts.
They are, yeah.
And they're just tweets about.
Traffic is nothing now that I got my Wondery podcast about whatever it's about. Yeah. Here's the title.
And then you're like, but wait, no, really, what is it about?
Everything's a breeze with this podcast.
I feel like they're like trying to get you to do that like curiosity gap thing, but like there's not enough information for the curiosity gap where you're just sort of like, I don't care.
I don't care what Bill 7349.
Yeah.
I don't care what a fucking Twitter egg says about this podcast.
Anyway, my point is we should take out a billboard.
Okay, done.
Okay. Okay, where were we? Oh, yes. Being someone who was never interested in having kids, I would have been one of those people who, hearing about someone going through the trouble of IVF, would have thought, why don't they just adopt? Though I would never, of course, have actually said that. The thing is, I know people who have adopted, so I had the impression that it's not that hard. But I'd never met anyone who had been through IVF, to my knowledge. Now, having learned how painful it is and how so many people don't tell others, I wonder if I really have known people who suffered through it in silence. So now I find myself more compassionate, not only to people with infertility, but also to parents and to little kids, just by learning from you and your listeners about daily life struggles and also successes. I'm someone who hates spoilers, so I had to listen to the entire show from the beginning at normal speed and have finally caught up just in time for a show when you'd had no emails. So here's this giant one. If you do read any of it, feel free to cut out any irrelevant bits.
Too bad.
I want to thank you for keeping me company whenever I'm cooking or doing dishes at home. I could listen to you two talk about anything. Wow.
Well, like what? I guess anything.
Give us a topic. We'll talk about it. Having caught up, I finally allowed myself to look at your Instagrams, and you are such a beautiful family. I mean, I already knew that, but connecting the voices and stories I've heard to actual photos was truly moving. You two are wonderful people and fantastic parents. You never need to doubt that. I waited to write until I'd caught up, so I'll bring up a few things that were talked about a long time ago. But first, I want to ask any other listeners for podcast recommendations. I love podcasts where two people end up talking about their daily lives. It doesn't really have to have any other theme, or if it does, it can be anything, as long as the talk is entertaining and the hosts are real and compassionate like Matt and Dory. I also love great sound quality, but nothing overproduced. Of course, I've started listening to Forever 35 from the beginning, so I'm sure that will keep me busy for a while. Hopefully, by the time I'm finished, I will be in a place where I can join all of the Patreons. Okay, this is a weird question, but since I'm enjoying Dory's conversations with Kate, and also love Matt's conversations with Andy, just a random thought, but if Kate and Andy were to have a podcast together, what would it be about? Do they even know each other?
They do know
they
each
do
other.
Know each other.
Kate and Andy have known each other for long before much Dory longer and Kate, or me and Andy.
They're both old UCB people.
They're both old people, and they both were in the improv scene in New York.
In the early aughts.
At the Upright Citizens Brigade. The original one. I don't even know which one's open anymore.
Yeah, I don't either.
But maybe it would just be about early 2000s improv.
Very niche. Very niche.
I, you know, not as niche as you'd think, that's weirdly. True. I feel like everybody I know that has a podcast could be on that podcast.
That would actually be a funny fictional podcast. Like a podcast about an improv team in the early aughts.
Like they're inventing podcasting but don't even know it?
I don't know. We'd have to come up with a storyline.
Time travel? What's happening?
What if Kate and Matt had a podcast?
I mean, it would just be about comforting things from Boston.
Yeah, that's true. You guys would have a good Boston podcast.
Yes.
Okay, here are a few questions/comments I've had throughout my listening journey. When you both first moved to LA, did you ever feel starstruck? What was your most exciting celebrity sighting or interaction? Are you totally over it now, or is there still a celebrity you would feel excited to meet? If Matt were to tell his kid self that someday he would be friends with Jonathan Frakes, how would his kid self feel about that?
Confused. yeah, it's kid me. I don't know. A kid me, I'd be like, oh, hey, you know, your pal Jonathan Frakes will text you from time to time, just check in, and you'll get happy birthday emails from Weird Al. And, yeah, it'll be real weird. I don't know. Yeah, so anyway, what was the question, though?
The first question was, did you ever feel starstruck when you first moved to LA?
Twice.
Okay, go on.
And people, the weirdest people. Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall.
Oh, sure.
And Mitch Hurwitz.
Oh, okay.
creator of Arrested Development.
And My So-Called Life.
What?
Didn't he create My So-Called Life?
Mitch Hurwitz? No.
Am I thinking of someone else?
Yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
Mark Cherry, maybe? No.
Well,
Who created My So-Called Life?
That's
who you're thinking
of
then.
Yeah.
I guess we'll look it up, everybody. We have the internet, too.
Marshall Herskovitz.
Ah, Mitch Hurwitz, Marshall Herskovitz.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
Not that different.
Like, not that crazy.
Blah, blah, blah.
And then she also wants to know, are you totally over it now, or is there still a celebrity you would feel excited to meet?
That's a good question. Is there still a celebrity I feel excited to meet? I mean, I've met so many, and I don't mean that in the sense of like it's old hat to me. I mean it in the sense of like when I did Nerdist and when I did Attack of the Show, I just was in a position where I was meeting people every week. A very cool, unique position. And like, you know, Paul McCartney did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I look, like, I have a notebook somewhere around here that has notes from the first time Chris and I met to talk about the Nerdist podcast and what it would be.
Well.
And we had a guest, like, we had guests we wanted to get. And I think the only one that we never got was Harold Ramis.
Oh, really?
Who had passed away.
Oh.
But yeah, who would I be? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm sort of now, I think I'm over it, I think. I'm not over the cool factor of it, like, oh, wow, it's crazy. But I'm over the deifying of people.
Mm.
Like, in the sense of, like, you know, Mitch Hurwitz and Scott Thompson, that was like I was 20-something and working at the Apple store.
Right, right, right.
And I hid in the back. It's like, I can't take him. I gotta hide. And now, I just, people are people. Like, you know, it's just, you know, it's crazy. Like in my, at Goldberg's, when Judd Hirsch started being, you know, playing, Murray's dad on Goldberg's, it was Judd Hirsch, and I had to very quickly be like, all right, Judd, say this is the joke.
Mm.
And then the same thing happened, like, when I had to, like, rewrite that Cheers tag we had when it was George Wendt and Kirstie Alley and John Ratzenberger and Rhea Perlman.
Mm.
And I had to quickly sit down with Matt, the writer of the episode, and, like, we sort of rewrote the tag.
Mm-hmm.
In a more Cheersy fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And then got them to essentially, we were moving sets. We wrote it and then got them to send pages down by the time we got over to the next set.
Wow.
And then, like, you know, having them do that, it was just like, no, Ratzenberger, say it like this. Is it a real fact, though? I'm like, who cares? It's Cliff Clavin. Who cares? We all got to be real. I'm like, all right, it's real then.
Okay. Next, I love both of your voices. I'm not meaning to disparage the profession of voice acting, which I know is a difficult job with true skill required, but would either of you ever want to try that? You are in the best place for it, after all.
I did. And they were like, no.
Okay, hold on. Someone asked you one time to submit a tape. And you didn't get the job, and now...
No. I went to a voice acting studio.
Oh, you did?
And recorded a whole audition reel.
Uh-huh.
For them to represent me.
Okay.
And they said no.
But, like...
That's pretty much like them telling you no.
That's one studio.
One voice agency?
Yeah, one agency.
There aren't that many.
True.
So, I mean, I like how you're being like, well, you did the... No. Yeah, I recorded narration for, what the fuck was it? Love Island?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't get it. But they came to me.
Right.
Like, hey, we'd like to see how you would do with this. But yeah, no, I went in and, I don't know, I just don't have the range that people look for. I guess. Or those particular people that day were looking for.
I actually would like to try voice acting.
Voice acting?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, work on it with your Mickey impression.
Well, I would like to take a class.
Is that a thing? Of course it is.
Of course it's a thing. It's like an acting class, but for voice actors.
All right.
And I think that's how a lot of voice actors get representation.
Do you have to make a voice like this?
Probably.
Who's there's a master class from Yardley Smith on masterclass
on voice
not
acting.
Yardley Smith, I'm sorry, Nancy Cartwright does it.
Mm.
The voice of Bart Simpson, not Yardley, who does Lisa. Nancy Cartwright does a I think it's a masterclass. I might be confusing it with something else I saw sometime.
On voice acting?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
She does a masterclass, doesn't she? Yeah, voice acting masterclass. Nancy Cartwright teaches voice acting. There you go.
Hmm.
It's already crazy.
Okay,
Hi, welcome to my class. A voiceover booth can get a little claustrophobic, so how about we do this? What better way to learn about voice acting than from an animated character? I'm going to tell you a little story about a girl from Ohio. The girl got a job at a radio station.
Well, I just wanted to be like, I remember now there's a class.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And here it is.
Maybe I'll take it. Maybe I'll take that before I spend, you know, however much money on a...
But you could just spend $15 a month.
Well, I already have a MasterClass subscription because they advertise in Forever 35.
Oh, and I pay for one because why?
I don't know. I've told you this many times.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
Oh.
Oh,
look at this. We can learn about leadership from Bob Iger.
You want me to talk about when I come home at night and my sons ask me what I did today? And I actually say, well, I had a meeting to talk about, you know, what are the core attributes of a Disney princess?
Wow. All right. On the topic of the old internet, I loved Homestar Runner too. Does anyone remember LiveJournal? I started hating Facebook lately and missing the sort of deep connections I used to feel with LiveJournal. Was it really that great, or is it just nostalgia? Probably mostly nostalgia, but also having it be a journal meant that people who used it could have thoughts longer than 140 characters and were keeping up the art of long-form, relatively writing. Even writing this letter is proving a challenge for me, like I've become incapable of stringing together thoughts coherently. Certainly not without losing focus multiple times. While I don't have ADHD, I feel that my attention span has drastically reduced since pre-smartphone days. Any suggestions for getting back the ability to deeply focus on things? Is the answer to just turn off my phone? I used to read books, but now I always feel like I need to set aside a significant amount of time for it, and I just never seem to be able to find those blocks of time. Yeah.
You need a time timer.
You need a time timer. You need to turn off your phone. Pick up a paper book.
I was listening to a podcast about golf the other day, and they were talking about, it was two YouTube golf people whom I watch regularly. Well, one of them. They were talking about social media and like the way you reach people now and like attention spans and stuff like that, and how everybody, you're like, so your brain is just so trained. Like the first thing you do is open your phone and click on Twitter, and then you click on Instagram, and then you click on, and I'm just like, yeah, I used to be like that, but now I don't.
Mm.
Which is, I don't think I'm any better for it.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, I feel like I miss a lot of things.
Yeah.
But also like, I don't know, I think I am kind of happier not reading it.
I'm sure you are.
And I can't tell you how I stopped because I don't remember. I remember being I remember doom scrolling in the early 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got to a point where I was like, I can't do this. This is not good.
Mm-hmm.
For my psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And no, thank you. And I just sort of, I backed away. I backed away slowly. And here we are.
Okay. Here we are. Okay, I guess that's enough for now. One more thing. When Matt heard someone mention their house in meters squared, he said he'd like to hear about if there are other ways that people measure square footage in other countries. And I have a great one from Japan. They measure in tatami mats. Even if isn't a tatami room, then the size is measured in traditional specified tatami mat size. So my apartment is a total of 55.4 meters squared, which is 596 square feet. But the three main rooms are 5.8 tatami mats, 103 square feet, 6.4 tatami mats, 113 square feet, and 13.3 tatami mats, 236 square feet. While large by Japanese standards, I live in the prefecture with the lowest population density, Hokkaido, so my rent is quite reasonable. I wouldn't be able to find the smallest studio apartment for this much back where I came from, Portland, Oregon. No hot dogs. They're not very common here, though I bet they sell them at baseball games and at Costco. The Costco here is exactly like the ones back home, but alas, I'm not a member.
Oh my God. There's Japanese Costcos? That's awesome.
That is pretty cool. Thank you for the awesome podcast, the great work that you do, and always being so open and real. Wishing you the best for the rest of your holiday season. May it be zero stress and full of joy.
Well, I mean, a little late for that.
Thank you, Corinna. This is such a lovely email to receive. Very thoughtful questions. 10 out of 10. Would email again.
I mean, I appreciate that you saved Dory so much money by reminding me that there was a voice acting teacher.
Thank you.
On Masterclass.
I'm going to need to play a voicemail. Speaking of voices.
Do we have time for that?
Yeah, I think we do.
Okay, here we go.
All right, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dory's going to... Oh, that sounds terrible. I should have not turned that on yet. There we go.
Okay.
I hope it's Bob Iger.
It's definitely not Bob Iger.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Yeah, here we go. Okay.
Hi, friends. This is Tanya Lemos from Belmont, Massachusetts. First of all, Matt, I'm so sorry.
I say her name
called
wrong
in earlier to help you with
Tonya.
My name.
Tanya Lemos.
You're doing a great job. But I lost track of the podcast and all podcasts because I started listening to Wheel of Time on audiobook, and man, those books are 58 hours long.
Wow.
Anyway, you're doing great.
Now on Amazon Prime.
The reason I called is because I heard the voicemail of someone who called in to talk about going to work and helping kids understand. And certainly when my kids, who are 6 and 8 now, were younger, we definitely did frame it as, well, I have to go to work because I need to make the money to buy the things that help us, you know, have light and get food, et cetera, et cetera. But I tried to start as soon as I could early on, also telling the kids that I like to work. I don't work necessarily just because I have to, but because I love my job. I'm a scientist. And also, I like being around other people and seeing things that aren't just the inside of my house and helping people and all of those things so that they understand that there's a part of me that is not being their mom that is really loving the work that I do and contributing to the world. And so that was really important to me. And the last thing is, whenever I tell my kids it's something .net, sometimes they say it's .com, and they haven't seen Homestar Runner, but somehow I believe they have channeled that. You know, I only eat Costco hot dogs, which are beef hot dogs, and I know that those don't count, and that's okay. So zero real hot dogs this year.
But how many
don't
Costcos?
Don't know how big the half of the house we rent is, but... it's full of a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a cat, and 2 adults, and hello from Massachusetts. We love you guys. Bye.
Thank you for loving me, Massachusetts. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tanya Lemos.
I think Costco hot dogs can be their own category.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, did you hear that, everyone?
So... start counting, everybody.
All right. Well, we have another email from Sam, who says, "Hi, Dory and Matt. Hope you had a wonderful holiday. You were talking a bit ago about how people do not like Matt Lucas being a judge on GBBO. I feel similarly to what you were mentioning. I don't hate Matt per se, but he seems a bit creepy, and I don't think his jokes are any good."
He's got alopecia. Is that why?
A few
He's
days
practically,
ago.
Practically the palest man I've ever seen.
One of my friends mentioned that Matt had done blackface on the show Little Britain, and I was shocked. How had I never heard that before? I believe Matt tried to downplay it because it happened a while ago, but it was only around 2003 to 2007. I don't think that should be an excuse. Yikes. Did you all know about this? Sam from Portland, Oregon.
I watched Little Britain a little bit. It was a banana show. But did I remember that? No.
I've never watched it, and I was not aware that he did blackface. So that's kind of disturbing. All right. Well, this brings us to the end of the show. We don't have any patron names to read today because we are recording this early so we can enjoy our little sojourn to Palm Springs. So we will get to those next week. And
oh, can't wait.
Happy New Year again, everyone. I'll talk to y'all pretty soon.
Bye.